Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com.
Hi, you're Roto One Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. Hope everybody is bundled up. It was cold out there this morning. Certainly a little colder because your Memphis Grizzlies came up a little short last night. Now, we figured it would be a little tough against a pretty much fully staffed Milwaukee Bucks crew. Didn't have their center. That said, this was a Memphis Grizzlies team that was without much more than that, obviously. Guys in health and safety protocols, including Desmond Bane, including Tyus Jones, John's man, his favorite. You didn't have those guys last night. Despite the best efforts of Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., you fall a little short to Milwaukee 126-114. Did cut it to three there late. Man, these dudes are going to fight. No matter what they have, John, they're going to fight. They come up a little short. Next time out will be against Denver tomorrow night. We'll see who's available at that point. And that will be, again, the question, who's available, John, when the Memphis Tigers get set to tip off tonight against SMU. Lots of game-time decisions with important contributors. We'll see at some point, right, whether or not DeAndre Williams can go. I guess it'll be right before tip-off.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Big one.
Certainly do have a lot to get to on the show today. Yesterday, as we were getting off the air, the news did emerge that Rasheed Wallace has the technical term is that his role has shifted from... From assistant coach to consultant. But, you know, the way we read that news was this.
Get ready to slumber and rather go home.
Yeah.
You got to work on your pitch, Brad.
I've been hearing
You'll get it, though.
Here's the other thing. Like, every day I come in here to get school on this kind of stuff, and you hear it, and it just becomes, it seeps into your blood.
That's
and so
right.
You'll get it. Just like Millennium Search.
I finally got the slumber that brother gone sound effect.
It's now part of our show. It's part of our fabric.
Yeah.
Frank Vogel.
And shout out to Rasheed Wallace.
And there could be more. There could be more, more going on in the city of Memphis. We'll get to that perhaps.
Thank you.
Perhaps. I don't know. Do I feel like it? I don't know. It just depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
Or you're just going to keep throwing them out.
So we will get into that today and sort of rehash that and go over that. Lots to get to. Ryan McDonough is going to join us. He had a tweet about Rasheed Wallace. He had it was the Simpson gif of the old man walking into the bar, putting his hat and coat on the rack, turning right around, taking his hat and coat right off the rack again, leaving.
I mean, that's pretty much what Jalen Duren said to Calkins, wasn't it, for the short time was here.
Yes. So we will get into that with Ryan McDonough. Also, what a night in the NBA. Two things that happened that are relevant to the Memphis Grizzlies, other than the fact that they played a tough, hard-fought game, shorthanded, came up short against the Milwaukee Bucks. That was going to happen pretty much always. The Bucks had to win that game after the way they lost on Martin Luther King Day at Atlanta.
Blowing that lead.
Absolutely. But the Jazz lost at home to the Rockets last night.
That was big.
13-win Rockets team before last game. Now they're 14-win Rockets, the Houston Rockets. So we get into that. Also, the Lakers lose at home to the Indiana Pacers. They also stink. Yeah, I think the Indiana they're like 15-31.
Oh, they're awful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Coming apart. They're going to be sellers at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. And Russell Westbrook did not play in the fourth quarter.
Was benched.
Yeah.
There late in that game by Vogel.
We will talk to him about that and more at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to hop on
Ask him how confident he is about the Bills.
We'll ask him how confident he is about the Bills. And more, as always, with Jeff.
He's like nervous purvis when it comes to the Bills. Man.
Is he? He typically doesn't.
Yes,
he like
he's nervous purvis. He plays nervous purvis.
He kind of detaches though in a lot of ways, doesn't he? Like he just
know more about if he's detached during the game or not. I don't know that. Does he do? He doesn't even watch. You're kidding me.
That's his thing. He claims he never watches, so he doesn't get hurt.
So you go from the message boards all week to totally tuned out during the weekend because you don't want to be hurt.
Yeah. That's kind of the idea, but I think
he's scared when Steve White picked the Bills this weekend. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, so we'll get into all that with Jeff at 1:25. Yep. So that is the show today. Lot that we want to touch on. Let's do over under.
It's Jason and John's over under. Over over under under.
Now let's start with the Tigers game tonight. Margin of victory. For the Tigers tonight against SMU. Margin of victory. The Linesmiths have set the number at 6.
Over. Under.
Yeah, that's the real number. That's the professionals. The professionals, the traders on the on the sports gambling floor have set the number at Memphis -6 tonight, which obviously tells you a number of things. That tells you that they expect. I don't want to get too far into this because it's – but I am in a group, okay, that bets on college basketball. It's like a Discord, okay? And last night there was a game that was happening at 7 o'clock, and the person that runs this group was asked about the game. And this person responded by saying, I like X, Y, and Z team, but I think their coach is out with COVID. So I Googled the team, and I Googled the coach, right? And there was nothing out there publicly about him having COVID. Like, it was not – nothing was public. Well, 2 hours after that, the news breaks that the coach of this team is in COVID protocol. So what am I getting at here? Vegas knows. That is what I am getting at. And so when you talk about Memphis being favored by 6, Jason, what does that suggest to you?
That knows something.
That suggests that we're going to see Landers Nolly and DeAndre Williams return to the lineup tonight. Otherwise, there is no way Memphis is favored by 6 over a second-place team in the American.
But, I mean, aren't they – they're assuming that.
Yes. They believe that.
Yes.
They believe that, though. They're not just assuming it, but they believe it.
Right.
So they have intel somewhere along the way that DeAndre Williams and Landers Nolly are going – and I think it's common sense. It's a desperation moment for this team.
And he's called them game-time decisions.
Yes, yes.
Not a time that they've lost 2 in a row.
Now, it wouldn't be the first time that Vegas thought something would happen. It didn't. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee, but I think you and I both agree.
But they've also been off, too.
Oh, God.
It's not like they've been dead on about this.
It's been impossible to cap Memphis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were 11.5-point favorites over Iowa State.
Exactly.
Roller coaster, man.
Yeah. So that – and, you know, East Carolina, all that. That being said, look, if DeAndre Williams and Landers Nolly are in the lineup, they will cover the 6. They just will. This is what's going to happen. This is written for Memphis basketball. They are going to do this all year long. They are going to beat teams like SMU comfortably, and they're going to lose to teams like Tulane and East Carolina. I'm sorry. This is the experience. So if you have DeAndre Williams and Landers Nolly in the lineup, like it feels to me a lot like the Alabama game. You know, it's a game that Memphis can absolutely get up for and will get up for. Season on the line, bro. Right? You lose this one, what's that, 3 in a row?
Mm-hmm. It would be, yeah. Yes.
3 in a row.
You'd fall up to under 500 in conference play. You'd go 3-4 with everybody leaving.
Take yourself out of the running, really, for the conference championship. I mean, I don't think there's going to be any way you can claw back if you're losing games like this. I mean, anything's possible, but you would say it certainly makes it a lot more difficult. So, yeah, I think Memphis wins and Memphis covers. And I think, real quick, is an example. This number is an example, a prime example of why we say this team still has a chance. Because despite everything that they have gone through, despite all of the adversity that this team has gone through, they are still 6-point favorites tonight against the second place team in the American. That speaks to the talent on this roster. That is all that's about.
Again, that is assuming that DeAndre can go. That DeAndre Williams is available tonight, coming off that back injury. in whatever form that he is. And again, there is no guarantee that even if DeAndre Williams is like John, he could hear the speech. The hey, we got to. It's all hands on deck right now for us. This is a must win. He could hear it, John, and then not, you know, not be want to go, but not be as the usual DeAndre Williams. He can't be effective because of that back. You might not get, you know, even 90% DeAndre Williams. So there's that possibility as well. If they're there, I feel good about it. I'm with you. Subscribe to everything you just said because that's the card you got to play right now, and you've seen it over there. It's mostly about we got to stay together right now. Everybody's trying to pull us apart. We got all this adversity coming out. You can hear, you know, you can almost hear the pregame speech.
Yep.
And it's going to be about staying together. You know, again, I'm with you. Hopefully, whether that's DeAndre back, Landers back, Alo maybe. I know he wasn't listed as a game time like the others were, but it seems like that call's out there for Memphis team right now that can't afford to fall back any further. You won't have a chance to win the conference tournament. No real chance if you fall out of the top four in the regular season running, which you're threatening to do if you go to 3-4 in conference play, because at that point it's 4 games in 4 days as opposed to 3-3, and that's not something this team right now needs, needing to win 4-4. So you got to stay in the top four. Cannot afford to lose this game. That said, we know they can.
Right.
We absolutely know they can.
They can.
But I'm gonna go with the all hands on deck theme. DeAndre gets out there in whatever capacity he can. Whatever Landers Nala you can get, and that they do cover and more importantly win the game. So I'll take the over here that they cover the 6.
Okay, good. The points for SMU guard Kendrick Davis tonight. You guys are gonna have to school me on Kendrick Davis. The number set here for Kendrick Davis is 21.
Over under.
Well, he's the AAC's leading scorer, 21.1 points per game. So that's where that number comes from. That's his average, the 21. And right now, probably the leader for conference player of the year. I think that was what we say beforehand. Preseason was Tyson Etienne at Wichita State.
Yep.
Clearly with where SMU is right now, second in the standings. And because of who Houston has lost, you'd probably say Kendrick Davis right now, the favorite for conference player of the year. Remember, we've talked about this week, especially with the drop-off from Memphis defensively. From a top five unit last couple of years, number one last year, to what, top 50-ish now. But there's been a drop-off. A huge part of it, right, was shutting down the other team's best guy. You know, circling guys like Kendrick Davis, which Memphis has clearly done in the past and done well on, and shutting that guy down. So that, you know, defensively, that's going to be the plan tonight, Brad. Obviously,
is going to
be
to
keep Kendrick Davis down.
Davenport kid,
yes, in the second half, especially, and he got hot on
anybody else that jumps out.
Now he got into foul trouble early.
Georgia was just like the team, right? I mean, Ole Miss was nobody really got off. What was the Murray State kid? Didn't he kind of get off a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't remember his name.
The problem has been the guarding the 3-point line, quite frankly, John. Yeah. That's where it's jumped out off the screen most to you, jumped off the court most to you, is just sort of how ineffective they've been. You talked about that drop off.
Tevin Brown.
Yesterday. Tevin Brown was the one. The problem has been that 3-point line. And Kendrick Davis can hurt you from there, but he can also hurt you getting inside, dishing it, making it easy for others. I mean, he's as legit as they come. He's been through the battles. He's got, you know, they're going to be looking to score what would right now be a quad one victory for them. That's an SMU team just as desperate in terms of trying to get resume wins. Right now, the AAC's, let's be real, it's a one big league for Houston, for an SMU team. It needs a quad one, good win on the road effort like this. And I think last I looked, Memphis was 69-ish at the net. Mm. And so this would qualify for it. So you gotta realize how SMU's looking at this too. Opportunity, huge one for them to score something good on their resume for any hopes for them for an at-large. I mean, their record's a lot better than yours, but they need quality wins.
If you win this game, it has to be under. I don't think you win this game if Kendrick Davis has 28 or 32. So,
I just think because you will hear that, it's going to be – we got to get back to playing defense. Again, you know, does an Alo help with that or not? I don't know. You know, can he? Because again, you throw a Nolly at that, well, that's not really his role as a stopper. Mm-hmm. This has got to be Lester and those guys, maybe a little Alo if he's playing, but – you have got to hold him below 21. I think they do it because that's going to be the battle cry.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Under, well.
Under on the average.
And the game is at 6 o'clock on ESPN2, right? Okay. To the Grizzlies now. Championships with Ja Morant in Memphis. The number set here, 1.5.
Over. Under.
Now, this ain't us going crazy as much as it is the national media.
No, the reason why this is a topic of conversation right now is because it was a topic of conversation this morning on national ESPN radio. In fact, we have
92.9 as well.
We have the discussion right here.
Yeah, I don't think so, Jay. I don't think that's the case. And you know how I feel. I like Ja. I think he's great. But who's going there with him to play at that level? And is he staying in Memphis.
See, this is I'll take it, Key, because as a real hoops junkie with some, you know, West Coast games on late night, I found myself up just watching this team play in particular a lot more. Man, they have a lot of young, good pieces. Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, Steven Adams. You talk about DeAnthony Melton, Desmond Bane. They space the floor and they defend, Key. They defend. These may not be names that people know now, but I am trying to tell you, like, the way they grind and the way they D, they're going to be in the conversation, man. Like, they get to the Western Conference Finals this year, I wouldn't be shocked.
Did you hear what George Stano said?
Multiple championships.
Like
Jay, I'm with you.
I'm leaning towards saying there's, with them growing together, Key, it's feasible.
But multiple is interesting because Key's right. Normally, you have that guy in a small market for 7 years, 6 to 7 years, and then he wants out to a more glamorous market, usually. Do they have the chance to win two in that span? I think they do, because I think Ja Morant is already almost playing at the level of the best player on a championship team, and they got a deep team.
But think about it this way, Jay, because you played in the NBA.
Okay,
so
that's good enough. It's almost hard to process how fast this has happened. You know what I mean? It's happened so damn quickly. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, like, just, like, take a step back, right? And like, reflect on the fact that on a national radio show today on ESPN, mm-hmm. they are talking about the Memphis Grizzlies winning multiple championships. Like, now. Like, not 15 years from now, not 25 years from now. Not like, oh, do you think they'll ever win? Are they going to be one of those NBA teams? No. Right now, winning an NBA title in the next, 3 to 5 years. Like, it feels like fever dream stuff almost. Because, like, it's not something that you ever think is really possible.
No, and certainly not for a team with its key parts are, 22 years old.
Right. You know, I mean, you hope that, for the Grizzlies, the you almost have to reprogram the way you look at them, because for the longest it was do the best you can, assemble the best roster that you can, hope that you catch a break, Russell Westbrook hurt. Whatever, whoever that guy would be, right? That's how it's
exactly right.
But now it's like no. You don't have to wait for breaks anymore. You don't have to hope for those anymore, because you've got this transcendent player,
right?
In Ja Morant, and it's a little mind blowing, bro.
So I think with Keyshawn, who it doesn't feel like he's watched a ton of Grizzlies. Jay, we know, clearly has. I think with Keyshawn, the way when they say multiple titles, he's thinking Spurs getting to a dynasty, all that. When all you're saying is two, like Max kind of boiled it down.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of tired of that too. Like, it's a foregone conclusion that you've got, only so long, 6-7 years with Ja after he signs the Supermax, and then he's gone off to the big market. But his point was, can they win two? That's the point. Whereas it felt like Keyshawn's thinking multiple, like the Spurs. It didn't feel like they were all on the same page there. That's my point. We're only talking about two.
Yep.
Okay, we're only talking about two when you talk multiple. This is what I like about the Grizzlies, is that there is time, there is control with these contracts, with these young guys, to go see what you have. Right, you can go into the playoffs with this. Remember, we have not seen much of having everybody, where you've got Dylan, Bane, Jaren, and Ja all on the floor together. You still don't know what that can do in the playoffs alone. Those four together. But the great thing about it is if it's not those four, you've got the assets to go out and make a move like the Bucks did, in terms of eventually going out and going and getting Drew Holiday. Right, when you find out, okay, there's one more piece we need to get over the hump. The Grizzlies have put themselves in a position where if you hit your head on that wall with the four, right, then you can go get that piece. And whether that's, next year, the year after, I mean, and if y'all want to dream big and start that process now, you go right ahead. That can happen here. What the Bucks did can happen right here.
Yep.
Having that control, because it's all homegrown.
Yep.
You've had it since it was drafted.
Yeah.
That can be the difference for them. That's why I think winning two during this absolutely it's possible.
Yeah.
Absolutely possible. Oh,
yeah, he is it. Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider Cards presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, a lot to get to in the NBA. But before we do that, there was some big news yesterday in the college side of things when Rasheed Wallace, his role changed. He went from assistant coach on the bench to remote consultant. How much consulting do you think Rasheed Wallace will be doing for the Tigers moving forward?
Well, that's a great question. Always good to be on with you guys. I don't know. And Rasheed has tried coaching before. He was a summer league coach a few years ago, I think, with the Detroit Pistons. And look, I think what Rasheed has to decide, or maybe he's already made his decision, is coaching's a grind, as you guys know, and it's hard, especially in college, with the recruiting, with the off-hours player development. Not everybody wants to do that, so I don't know if that was the specific case here or not. You know, obviously, COVID has added some more difficulties to it, already a very difficult and high-pressure job. So we'll see what happens long-term with Rasheed. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him on a bench again, but it was certainly unusual, especially mid-season. As you guys know, we're now into conference play. To see a coach leave the bench, it doesn't seem like that's something that, is potentially a great long-term thing as far as him being part of the Memphis Tigers program for years to come.
Last time we talked to you, Ryan, about a couple of weeks ago, Grizzlies were 25-14. Here, a couple of weeks later, they're 31-16, so 6-2 since we last talked. Now third in the West, a game ahead of Utah. What's been the most impressive part of this rise to third and the Western Conference standing for the Grizzlies to you?
I think the fact that they've done it in different ways. They're in the top 10 in the league now in offensive and defensive efficiency. And the reason I always bring that up is because historically, to win a championship or to compete at a high level for a championship, to be considered a legitimate contender, you need to be in the top 10 in offensive and defensive efficiency. And that's where the Memphis Grizzlies are today. Now, they're closer to 10th in both of those categories than they are to first. But still, it's a great start for a young team. This is a balanced team. I like how they won primarily with their defense when Ja was out, and now we see some of the offensive ability and the explosive ability of their offense, especially with Ja Morant in the lineup. So I think there's a real opportunity here for the Grizzlies. We've talked before about them potentially being a home court advantage playoff team in the Western Conference the first round. I think that's going to happen, guys. Utah's really struggled. They've lost 6 out of 7, including 9 losses at home. The Jazz are only 14-9. They've gone entire years recently without losing 9 games at home. That's how many losses they have here in mid-January. So I think there's a real opportunity. I don't think the Grizz are going to catch Phoenix or Golden State, but I think there's a great opportunity for them to be in that third slot in the Western Conference the playoffs start.
It feels absurd that sentence, you know what I mean? Like, even like to say that.
This fast.
Right? Yes. Like, for the Grizzlies to be in the conversation with those two teams is mind-blowing. And in that regard, Ryan, as somebody that's been in the front office and probably had to make decisions like this, you have a team that is way beyond anybody's wildest expectations this year, and a big part of that is the way that they play together. It's that chemistry. On the same token, you have decisions to make, and you have assets, and you have draft picks, and you have a long term to think about. So what is the balance between trying to preserve something that is working beyond everybody's wildest imagination, but also saying, hey, you know, there's more we can do as well?
That's a great question, I don't think that's talked about enough, where as an executive, you can do too much. You can overdo it and make a move, or even if you think maybe is a minor upgrade and turns into a minor significant downgrade if you're not careful, especially when a team's really clicking and has great chemistry like the Grizzlies do and play hard night in and night out and on both ends of the court like the Grizzlies do. So I think Zach Kleiman and staff will certainly weigh that. They're in a great spot. Looking ahead, there may be some financial issues coming up, especially when Ja Morant's extension kicks in. I think they'll obviously offer him the full max, and I this offseason, and I fully expect him to sign that. That'll kick in 2023, so I think in the short term, the next year or so, they should be fine, maybe even through the end of next season, the 2022-23 season. But before Jazz extension kicks in, they do have a window to add. So if they can add players on short-term contracts, either guys on expiring deals, if they can get them for good value, or even guys who have next year guaranteed that they think will help their roster, I think those are some of the moves to look at. But more than anything, guys, looking around the league, they are not a team I'm focused on as far as a team that has to make a move. I think certain teams like the Indiana Pacers have to make a move. I think the Sacramento Kings have to make a move, and I think those teams will make a move. I'm expecting and anticipating a quiet deadline for Memphis unless it's a minor upgrade around the periphery.
Here's what I want to know, Ryan. Let's say the Grizzlies, maybe not just win a first-round playoff series, but go a little farther, and maybe it's an Atlanta-type story where they're getting to the conference finals. How do you avoid what's happened to them? And that's going to require you telling me what the heck has happened in Atlanta, where they've fallen, you know, down to, I think, 12th last I looked in the Eastern Conference standing. Is there a way to avoid what's happened to Atlanta for the Grizzlies? If you do, you know, advance, even winning a playoff series, how do you avoid taking the step back?
That's a great question, and that's one of the hardest things to do in the NBA is when you set the bar really high to match it or hopefully exceed it the next year. Also in the Eastern Conference, I think the New York Knicks are going through a lot of that right now. The Knicks are in 11th, one game under 500. The Hawks are in 12th at 19-25. So I think with Atlanta specifically, they just don't defend well enough. I mean, their defense isn't good enough. They have a lot of offensive talent. You know, they have a lot of depth, but I think they're a team that will look at consolidation trading two or three good players, maybe prospects for one very good player. I think, you know, that's something the Hawks will look at, especially if somebody helps them defensively. Now, Clint Capella has been out recently, which has hurt them, but I'm shocked they're 19-25. Although I think one of the more under-discussed storylines nationally, guys, is how deep the Eastern Conference is. I mean, if Atlanta's 12th and Knicks are 11th, that's 12 pretty good teams in one conference. So I think for Memphis, again, it'll be continuing to build upon what they have. They took a great step last year, making the playoffs via the play-in. They won that big game in San Francisco against the Warriors. Then they went to Utah and won a game up there. So they're trending in the right direction, but that does not mean it's easy, especially in the Western Conference. And I think that'll be what, you know, Zach Kleiman and his staff look at. It's how can not only we be in the top three or four and hopefully advance in the Western Conference playoffs this year, but is there somebody we could get again on a 1 or 2 year deal who could help us stay at this level or even go to the next level before Jaws money kicks in, and then we have some more difficulties financially because of the big numbers they're paying to Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.
On the other side of the spectrum, I mean, like total opposite end of the spectrum, the Lakers feel like they are at a boiling point with their organization and their roster and everything in between. How messy do you think that's about to get in La La Land?
Yeah, I feel strongly about this, guys. In fact, I put out a tweet or a couple tweets about it the other night because, you know, Frank Vogel and I are friends. We worked together with the Celtics when I was just starting a league in 2003. Look, if you want to fire a head coach, fire the head coach. That happens all the time in the NBA. This is not the Supreme Court, as you guys know. And when you're a head coach or a GM, that comes with the territory. But what I can't stand is when teams have a guy twist in the wind. And it certainly seems like there's things coming up from the Lakers about him coaching game to game was one of the comments I saw, from one of the reporters who covers the Lakers closely. Another statement I saw was that there are, quote, no current plans to fire Frank Vogel. And that's not good for anybody. It's not good for Vogel, obviously. It's not good for his family. But it's also not good for his staff and more broadly, the entire organization. The players hear that. They sense that. And it becomes a distraction in terms of trying to focus on the opponent and trying to right the ship. People are wondering who the coach is going to be tomorrow. And that flared up again last night with the bad loss to Indiana. I guess that's the bad news for the Lakers fans. The worst news for the Lakers fans is look at their upcoming schedule. Look what they have between now and the All-Star break. The schedule is brutal. They go on a long road trip. They play some elite teams. So I don't think it gets better in L.A. For me, guys, with these things, usually where there's smoke, there is fire. I'm guessing Frank Vogel probably will be fired at some point. But my strong message to the Lakers is if you're going to fire him, rip the Band-Aid off. Don't let him twist in the wind because long-term that doesn't benefit anybody involved.
Well, and even beyond him, I mean, the roster construction is just not working. I saw the report now is that they are willing and maybe they're even shopping Talen Horton Tucker. Is he going to be able to return them a player that is going to greatly change what they're capable of doing in the postseason?
No. No, the market for Talen Horton Tucker, especially today, isn't what it has been in the past. I mean, even a year ago in the offseason, I think they could have got something decent for Talen Horton Tucker. He's played okay. I mean, he hasn't been horrible. But look at his shooting percentages. He's shooting 42% from the floor, 25% from three, 11 points a game, three rebounds, two assists. That's okay. And he's still young. He's a talented prospect. But I think other teams, say, well, if you can't impact winning on the Lakers with a couple future Hall of Famers or a bunch of future Hall of Famers by LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but also guys like Dwight Howard and Carmelo will be there someday. Why would we give up a lot of value to get him? So I think that's where the Lakers are in a really tricky spot. The pieces don't fit well together. I think that's something they should have realized in the offseason. And I'm on record, guys, saying between the two deals, The Buddy Hield package from Sacramento would have been better for the Lakers because of the shooting and the spacing that Hield provided. I just think Westbrook, who is best in a wide-open transition-style, up-tempo game, does not fit with a 37-year-old LeBron James and then Anthony Davis really at any point. And I think you're seeing those issues exacerbated now. The lack of shooting, the lack of defense, especially in transition, you know, it's a mess for the Lakers, and that's why I'm personally not thinking about them in any shape or form as a contender. And guys, they may be a play-in team that has to try to get into the top eight or the final eight in the Western Conference via play-in route.
See, that's why I'm with you completely on Frank. What's he supposed to do? I respected the move last night where he benched Westbrook because Caris LeVert is absolutely blowing by him. Westbrook's not showing any interest in playing defense at that point. But so you bench him. Well, the Lakers can't trade him, right? Front office, in terms of you can't trade him because of the number. This had seemed like the point where you'd want a front office to step in and say, look, you know, Frank did the right thing here. I respect him because he's kind of going out his way, it feels like, Ryan, but if you can't move Westbrook, somebody's got to take the fall. It feels like inevitably it will be him.
I agree with that. And Russell Westbrook, as you mentioned, you know, now in his mid-30s, making $44.2 million this year and $47 million next year.
Man.
So that's why you can't move him. I don't see another team in the league taking on that contract unless it's, you know, bad money out, bad money in. With, you know, maybe Houston would do it for John Wall or something like that. I don't know if they bring Westbrook back, but that is certainly a contract that teams view as a negative asset. They have, you know, positive assets that are neutral and ones that are negative. Negative meaning you need to attach value, in Westbrook's case, probably a lot of value to it, which the Lakers frankly don't have with their lack of young talent and the lack of draft picks. So I don't see how it gets better, guys. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was high on the Lakers before I saw them play in the preseason. As you guys know, once I watched them in the preseason, I have concerns. And I think even, you know, the most skeptical people who were critical of the Lakers, the concerns they have might have even been underestimation at this point, given how bad the Lakers have looked. And at sub-500, I think they're going lower, you know, much more below 500 between now and the All-Star break.
We're talking to Ryan Bedena, Odyssey NBA insider here on the show. Big game tonight, great game tonight, 6:30 on TNT, as two of the hottest teams in the NBA meet in Dallas, Phoenix against the Mavericks. You know, in a game like this, it sort of feels like, you know, the Suns have a chance to, you know, continue their dominance, and the Mavs have a chance to sort of say, hey, KP or no KP, we're here and we're real. How do you see this one playing out?
I think Phoenix has been the most consistent team in the league and the best team in the league, especially after the first week of the season. They started off 1-3, but they've been absolutely fantastic since then. And when I watch them play, I'm biased because you know, I was involved with some of the guys there. But not only do they have high-end talent, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, I think, will be back on the All-Star team this year, but they have really good depth, and they don't have a lot of holes and a lot of weak links. I think their biggest hole last year that was exploited in the finals in particular was at the backup center when DeAndre Ayton was off the court. Giannis in particular in the finals had his way from Milwaukee, and they added JaVale McGee this offseason, and he's played very well. So I like Phoenix. I think, you know, again, they've been the best and most consistent team, but Dallas is really underrated in terms of what they've done over the last couple weeks. Luka gets a lot of attention, guys, as he should. He's starting to round into form, but the really underrated thing when I watch the Mavericks is their defense. This is a team that's fourth in the league in defensive rating. They get after it in the defensive end, and coming into the season, I didn't know if they'd had enough offensively around Luka. Jalen Brunson has played very well, but more than anything, they hang their hat on the defensive end of the court, and that's caused them to be one of the best teams in the league in 2022 since we entered the new year.
Yeah, we saw it firsthand. I wasn't prepared for that side of it either, Ryan. Even though they were top 10 statistically in defense, they wore an already tired Grizzlies team. They wore them down in the second half, you know, leaning on them, that kind of thing. It was impressive to watch. They are slept on defensively. There's no question about it. All right, the Miami Heat, you talked about a deeper East. The Miami Heat are up to second. I just wonder, are we sleeping on them a little bit? A lot of our questions lately have revolved around, you know, the Nets and Milwaukee. The Nets, obviously, when they've got everybody, are the Bulls real? It feels like Milwaukee is just sort of creeping up on everybody, and is it possible that we're looking at them in the finals? They've crept up and passed folks by the time this thing's over.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra continues to be an outstanding coach. He's headed to the Hall of Fame someday. And look at what he's done, guys, and look at what the team has done with all the games their top players have missed. Right, Jimmy Butler is only played in 27 of 45 games. You know, Bam Adebayo's missed significant time. Bam Adebayo's missed more than half of the Heat games, and here they are, as you mentioned, second in the conference. You know, as usual, they continue to mine diamonds, find, you know, diamonds in the rough with Omer Yurtseven. The center has played very well, the rookie, and then Caleb Martin. So, you know, Miami's player development and scouting is, I think, is good, if probably better than any in the league. So that's a big reason why they're second in the East. And also Tyler Herro, he was my preseason pick for most improved player. He had a great rookie year. Remember him, helping the Heat get to the finals in the Orlando bubble. He had a down year last year in year two. He's bounced back in a big way this year, and I think he's a big reason the Heat are second in the East. And, yeah, I think this team will only get stronger, especially as they get Butler and Adebayo healthy and back into the lineup.
Yep. Hey, Ryan, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate
so much,
the time
Ryan.
Every week. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Always great to be with you.
Yep. He is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Yeah, big one on TNT tonight. Suns, Mavs, two red-hot teams. Suns slight favorites tonight on the road in Dallas.
You know I love them Suns.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, it's one of those games where it's like
they could really become your rival here. Don't you see it over the next few years?
Well, I don't know because like what happens after life.
Well, that's what I was getting to is that can they stay there when Chris drops? I think they will because they'll have a pedigree then.
CP3 is just so big.
Been in big. Oh, he is. He
is. Devin's a killer, but CP3 is like he makes them go.
It's right. Not just Devin now. It's like DeAndre's good.
Well, because
Mikal Bridges is consistent.
I know. Well, yes, in fairness, but we did see the Suns before Chris Paul arrived, mm-hmm. and I tell you, when
he was just like Drew.
We never saw them in April.
What Drew was for Milwaukee. I mean, Chris Paul has been that and more for Phoenix. They just haven't won the title, obviously. But yes, in terms of completing your piece, you take that out, something's got to fill it. I just don't know necessarily it's going to have to be a Chris Paul type. Because those other guys are now older, more mature. They will have been through the wars. I just couldn't see them in terms of timeline, right? And where, you know, guys in their, where they are in their careers, you could just see Phoenix as sort of becoming that rival.
Yep.
Again, we're talking about three championships, four championships, five championships for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Amazing, man.
Against Phoenix every year in the Western Conference.
To hear that conversation being had, like, non-ironically.
Because it won't be Golden State here shortly.
Yeah, well, that's right? The other
they'll
part, right?
They'll get old.
Like, everybody is getting older. Everybody's phasing out. That generation.
The Lakers, it's happening right before your eyes. It's crumbling.
And it's so, you know, aging is so tough, isn't it?
Well, tell me about it.
It's so tough.
And it's hard.
And for it to be happening as publicly as it's happening for them, I mean, it's brutal.
The other day at Shoot 360, John had to play with my kid.
Oh, no.
That's what aging does to you.
I understand.
Your younger friend has to go out there with your son because you get a little rusty, a little old. John had to take on my son because I couldn't do it.
John has witnessed this playing basketball with me. The mind of your older self doesn't match what your body can presently do. And I know that sounds very obvious.
Does that mean you still feel young, but your body,
you're reminded of, I was a point guard in high school. Right. Like,
but
I can
body
do
does
these
not follow.
Things.
It doesn't cooperate.
And then the 45-year-old body rolls his ass out there and it's like, Brad, this ain't you, bro.
You know, look,
even if you were bad back in the day, you're not even close.
There are levels to it, too, right? Like, there's drop-offs when you go from 25 to 30, you know?
Yeah, so there's a drop-off.
I can only imagine.
It's minor
little ones. I hear you, John. I mean, like, I tried to play pickup at 30, and it was different being 22.
Like, I have I'm almost positive I have, like, a hematoma.
In the world is that?
It's like a bloody toenail.
Oh, you got, like, some pus underneath that thing?
No, I wouldn't doubt that. He walks around with them infected as they are.
Yeah, you got some gangly
ass toes. They're already yellow.
There's
so
no question.
Now there's some dried up blood in one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get that checked out.
But they said
how does that happen?
Drill a hole in it.
They said it. Well, I know, but they say it heals on its own. A toe hematoma.
Is it hurting you? Is it bothering you?
No.
Okay, you're fine.
I don't want to lose it. Obviously, I don't want to like lose my big toe.
No, you're fine.
It's not gonna like go anywhere, is it?
Is it green or colorful beyond?
No, it's like black.
The actual toe?
Well, no, the whole toe's not black, but like the parts of it that where the blood is are black now because it's dried up blood.
My God, Deion Sanders' feet.
This is uncomfortable.
I mean, I don't want to. I've done this before. I've had problems with my toenails before.
I've had to do
what you said.
The drill method.
I've had to go get them and get the injection in my toe and get the thing drilled. I don't want to do that again. It hurt.
Because it grows back into you.
Yeah, well,
it curls around and grows back into you. That's. Can lead to infection and gangrene, bro.
See, I'm saying, when I was 22 years old, I didn't have to worry about things like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, now it's...
that sounds like a Martin problem.
I got, like, this weird...
I think that runs in your family,
I got this weird pain in my side now. Like, it's just stuff that you don't really think about.
Now, that happens, where you just all of a sudden...
Like, foreign
you're sore in an area
pain,
that you don't know why.
You know, and it's just like, this is part of it.
That might have started at 30 for me.
This is part of the deal.
Oh!
Yeah.
I can't, like, jump up and down, because, like, well, that was, like...
3 weeks ago. I'm fine now, but don't worry.
Yeah, that's tough.
Anyway, appreciate you going against my son the other
day. I'm still better than Russ.
Did you entertain his boy there for a while?
He lost 0-4.
Yeah,
Chris reminded me about it every day.
See, I don't, you know.
John lets him win. That's lost on me.
I mean, I have to, though. I can't, like, try to beat him. Like, what am I going to try to beat him for?
Now don't act like you don't Joel Embiid that dude every once in a while and send it into the wall. But it is. It's good for him. I like that.
It's just, it makes him
think that you're actually right.
I can't just let him score me and think, like, oh, it's just this easy.
Well, that's why he thinks that he really won 4 games against you.
That's all right. Wow. He can take that.
Because John blocked the fuse. Like, oh, he must be playing against me, Dad. I'm really getting better.
He can take that confidence, though, into his actual games against people on his level. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's what that was all about.
CJ's like John Morant playing the Milwaukee Bucks. He's got to be the scorer.
Again, there is no hope. If the kids, when he gets grown, are going to look like Kendrick Perkins' son, there's no hope for my son. We won't get a Scully or anything. If that's what we got, because that kid is class of 2030. Mine's 32. Like, that dude is, he's a beast.
He could shoot up, though. You never know when that growth spurt's coming.
We won't have the size to deal with brothers like him. We'll be like Muggs.
Hold on now. If Chris Chioza can be the all-time assist leader in Florida. You know,
how tall is Chris Chioza?
5'8", 5'9".
He looked taller than that in that picture with Steph, though. He doesn't look that short in that picture with Steph and the kid from MUS.
No, Chris Chioza is a small guy.
He's 5'7", 5'8".
They were
right,
all
John?
Just in town. Yeah, in that picture, he does not look 5'8" or 5'9".
He's listed at 5'11", but I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
he has to be. Cannot be that much shorter than Steph, who's legit 6'2", 6'3", is he not?
Yes.
If he's 5'11", he's like 160 pounds. Right.
Your point is that Chioza not a big man.
He's the all-time assist leader of Florida.
I know.
Right?
More impressive is that he's sticking in the NBA to me.
Guys, here's a story for you, though. John Morant, this is a true story, couldn't dunk until his senior year of high school.
That is hard to believe every time I read it.
Think about that.
It keeps coming back up because everybody's now
senior.
Is writing the story of Ja over, you know, as they introduce them nationally, a national audience to this Grizzlies team. I keep reading that. Just go to T did tell us that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, at the. So this unreal, this Superman-like athleticism did not come until, what, he's 18 years old?
That happens.
Like, you don't have it. How do you not have it at 16 or 17 then?
I've seen seniors, I'm not a great basketball player, but, like, in senior year, there are kids whose puberty doesn't catch up to them until 17, 18 years old.
Because that seems like a rise that you're not just going to get from one summer out working on your hops. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
His are... I mean, out of this world at
this
point.
Some of it is height. Some of it is just springs. I mean, you got to grow, you know?
Speaking of Ja Morant, we were talking about this sort of like the darling factor that he's kind of adopted in, you know, nationally. I am told that ESPN, there is at least one ESPN reporter, writer, coming in to Memphis next week.
Isn't one of their next games nationally televised on ESPN?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's one of those companion pieces, right?
Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like is coming.
He's coming in town.
I was just looking this morning.
I'm getting daily emails now from ESPN Radio on this dude.
I think, I heard Jeff talking about this.
They've seen a spike in the numbers when talking Ja. That's why they're doing it,
yeah.
Right?
Is that where you were going?
Well, they wouldn't talk about it if nobody cared. You know, that's not the way national radio works. You know what I mean? They know what registers and what doesn't. And I think a big part of it is that Ja is, like, awesome. I think he's new.
Yeah.
Like, he's a new face.
It's a nice little new thing.
It's both. It's the fact that he's great on the Grizzlies, but it's also that he's a new, like, we've been talking about LeBron and KD and Steph for 15 years, you know. People are ready for something different.
It's San Antonio next Wednesday is the ESPN game. Then they get another one at New York on the 2nd of February.
At the Knicks, huh?
Yep.
That'll be a fun one.
Got another one versus Brooklyn.
Is that nationally televised?
These are ESPN-listed games that they've added to that I don't believe were here beforehand. That Brooklyn one might have already been here. That one's March 23rd. Then they've got a TNT against New Orleans on March 8th and a couple of at least one NBA TV.
And the All-Star game.
And what happens in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that All-Star game is going to be a show if he's starting.
Going to be a lot of Grizzlies. Going to be a lot of Grizzlies representation.
Desmond should be in the three-point contest.
Yep.
Sure.
Like, who?
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's been so long since I paid attention to the three-point contest. How many competitors?
It's like 6 or 7, right?
Yeah.
And aren't they now, what they've done is a good job on getting the best, like the Stephs and the Bookers, right?
Right.
Are there too many of those to get Bane in there?
I don't think so. You put Bane in it. Yeah, he's a Grizzly.
If Steph and Booker decide,
Bane is in the top 20 of three-point percentage, but he's got guys like, let's see, who would be in it? Eric Gordon, would he be in it?
He's been in it before. We don't need to see him. He's too long in the tooth at this point, and he's not a star anymore.
No, has been.
Would Patty Mills be in it?
He's got the respect
remember,
of the
you
league.
Got to keep in mind, Brad, it's not about stars necessarily in the three-point contest. It's about,
Patty's been great. Bucket, hasn't right? he been crazy this year? Yes. He's been one of the league's
Patty
best.
Patty Mills could very well be in it.
Maybe this year because of how crazy he's
I will
been
say with
it.
Bane, I watched this the other game, and you guys back me up on this. There are some shots where he's forcing it because he has to score now. I watched this because I went and saw the Chicago game Monday. And when he is clear and he's unimpeded and he's shooting just straight up buckets, it's no miss. Like there were about two or three where he forced it, and because he has to. Mm-hmm. Like he's got to be one of their scorers.
He's gotten into a habit now of the bigger his role's gotten, he does tend to force.
He's got to be a scorer now. I mean, that's why he's scoring 20 a game.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think it was the Minnesota game where he didn't play very well. But he was really pressed and really forced.
He can force it sometimes because I think he feels like he has to.
Yeah, but he ain't anywhere close to Dylan.
No, Dylan.
That's a young player trying to figure out. You know, how far can I push this? And you know, he's not anywhere.
No.
He's not in the same ballpark.
You're right.
A guy like Cam Johnson for the Suns, would he be in the 3-point? He's shooting 43.4%. Would he be in it?
Nobody needs to see that.
Mike, well, who do you want to be in it?
We already got
Desmond Bane by himself.
We already have our Suns representative in Devin Booker. Who, you know, we said Devin and Steph off.
Well, he's all the way down.
Take two of the six spots. But yeah, but he's going to get it because of celebrity status.
Yeah.
Does Steph play in it? What about Lonzo?
I hope so. I hope you have those two at least.
Lonzo? Lonzo's shooting better than Desmond Bane.
Put Lonzo and LaMelo in there.
They'll want to have a hometown. Is there a Cav that's good at shooting threes?
Because
they like those hometown dudes.
They do like having
they
hometown
love having,
guys
here's your hometown hero, Kevin Love, or whoever the hell.
Let's see. Kevin Love is the best on the team at 40%.
Yeah, I bet you they'll put him in it.
We won't do skills challenge, will we? If we're Ja Morant.
I doubt it.
Chris Paul does it a lot.
Yeah.
We won't do it, though, will we?
What is it?
None of our Grizzlies
need to be in that skill.
Yeah. At the end, you come down, you have to make a three, a pull-up three on the break. You know what I'm saying?
He could do it.
Do we have a Grizzly that needs to be in the skills challenge? We talked about three and dunk.
It would be Ja, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I doubt it. If he's not going to do dunk, he's probably not going to do skills challenge. I don't know. Chris Paul takes great pride in it. Doesn't seem to do it. Feels like every year. And you know what the funny thing is about skills challenge? A big dude always ends up winning it.
Well, yeah, because it's
it doesn't make any sense because they got dribbling and passing.
It's always Jokic,
but it's always
it?
A big dude. A big Jokic.
Sabonis.
I want to tell you, Porzingis won it 1 year.
Porzingis.
Yeah, Sabonis won it 1 year. DeMontis, yes.
Yeah,
but for some reason the big guys always won it. Just making sure we didn't have any Grizz that need to be in that. We always leave it off. Hell, I've watched it more lately than I've watched the 3-point contest. To be honest with you, if Bane's in that thing, I'm back in the three. He should be.
Who leads the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage?
It's Patty, is it not?
No, but it is a Brooklyn net.
Brown or something. Mm. Some crazy.
Who is it?
It's not KD or Kyrie or James.
It's Joe Harris.
Of course.
So
when you said
he can knock it down.
Behind him, there's a tie at two. Now, this is kind of skewed because not all these guys take a ton of threes.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. So how many nets you got on this list?
Cody Martin and PJ Tucker are tied for second in the NBA. But again, they only take one a game.
Yeah, it's low
volume. PJ Tucker shouldn't even be talked about on this list. Yeah.
Eric Gordon. I watched Eric Gordon last night. That man lit up the Jazz.
He's still doing it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. He is 46.1%. And he shoots. That's all. That's his game.
Yeah,
that's all
man.
He does.
Yeah, he's good.
Still effective as heck.
Man, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was watching that. I was watching that fourth quarter. Like, I was like, all right, you know, Jazz probably going to pull this out in the end. Nope.
Boy, Ja was hitting last night on the threes. I mean, he's pulling up from the deer.
He didn't have any help in that first half. He was 4-7. The rest
of
the team
sorry,
was
over. Yeah. We're so sorry, Ja. We were just shorthanded. Please don't hold this against us.
Yeah, don't get angry, man.
Well, remember when there was some speculating that Ja needed to change his shot?
Yeah, I was part of that.
No,
I was wrong.
He didn't need to change the shot at all.
They just had more practice.
Just shoot it confidently.
Yeah, just go
with
it.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, Jaren's in the same boat. Jaren hasn't changed his shot. He's still got that straight shooter.
No, Jaren needs to change his shot.
It looks like a damn rocket going forward.
Unlike Ja's, it doesn't go in.
No, it goes forward.
It's going in just fine.
It's going to hit the back of the rim and bounce off.
You're going to change his shot at this point in 22? You're going to mess with it, dude. He's going to hit 20% the next time you're trying to mess with it at this point in his career.
That thing looks like a blowtorch coming out of his hand.
But it's not. I mean, we got a bunt. Kyle Anderson.
Yeah,
y'all like
right.
the way that looks? That thing nasty,
no.
too? You want Kyle to change his shot, too, at this point in his career?
Well,
it's
no.
not happening.
No.
And I don't need him to be a three. I don't want Kyle
I don't
to be a
want Jaren messing with that old ugly shot at all. That thing is going in enough.
Okay, 31% of the time?
is enough for you?
He can get it up to 34, 35. What? Dude's not – dude, to ask him and expect him to be between 37 and 40 is unrealistic.
I don't need it. I just need to feel like when he lets the ball this go is what I'm three, fine with. It has a chance to go in, and I do not feel like
This is what I'm fine with. He's not just standing around the three-point line anymore. He has worked on that inside game. It's coming along. It's developing. I'm fine with it with the threes as long as he's doing that too. And now I'm seeing more of that. And frankly, it's put him in better position to be an offensive rebounder, doing more of that. Dude, what did we talk? That spin move is his go-to.
Yeah, it's
like
good.
He does it damn near every time.
But look, when Jaren shoots a three, I hide my daughter's eyes. All right? I want to get to a point where I don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? I have to protect my child when he shoots from three.
Yeah. It's true.
What matters is if it's going in at
it
a clip that's
it
decent
doesn't.
Enough. It's fine. What are you talking about?
31% is not enough.
You will always find something to pick at with Jaren Jackson, even though he is outplaying the hell out of the contract that you got him on.
In
what are we
talking?
This dude's elite. He's like top five in blocks in the league.
Can he,
but you will always
can he hit
30, find
he's, can he hit 35?
He's become a better rebounder.
Can he hit 35?
Especially when they've made him play center.
He was 40% 2 years ago.
It's like, nah.
What happened?
31 is this. Then we found something else on Jaren.
What happened?
At some point, you're going to have to say this dude is. He's doing what
he's
he needed to do.
Player.
He has
and,
made some,
and remember,
some big time strides.
You keep moving the goalpost. You keep moving the goalpost because remember what number one was? Number one was what? Just being there.
Yes. Yes.
And is he doing that?
He certainly
doing
is.
A hell of a job at that as well.
Yes.
That was the first.
Although
thing.
That's not right. just a, that's, yeah. never, that's
his,
never a final
his,
conversation.
His 3-point percentage was way down your list. Improve offensively. Don't just let the three dictate your game. All this stuff. He is a rebounder. He's attacked a bunch of areas that I don't think. That side of the table is ready to give him enough credit for.
I'll give him some credit.
He's outplaying his contract, John.
But, you know, let's work on the three, bro. That's all.
We're going to work on it for you. Not going to change the shot, do nothing for
you. Shoot 360.
I think that his volume needs to go down. As Bane has gone up and these other shooters have gotten better, I think the volume from Jaren,
well,
you need to rethink that.
Well, eventually it will
that's
have
what, that's
to,
That's why
Brad.
They call him a unicorn, though. They want him to shoot.
Guys,
no,
it's,
no, no,
it's
no,
naturally
no.
going to have to because once they get Dylan Brooks and Bane both
yes,
in there,
thank you.
There ain't going
to
be no shots for as many
you
shots for Jaren Jackson taking
no.
all those three. So naturally it's going to happen, guys, and especially as it feels like they shift him to five.
Yes.
I mean, over as his career
He's
goes
the
on.
Five. Let
it's
him,
actually happening.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
but you still need your in today's NBA, your five has to be able to knock down
better than 31%.
One or two shots.
Some of that, John, is how many he's shooting too.
Yes,
that 31%.
Yeah,
I mean he's still taking a total.
Well, and again,
for
I think
a guy his size,
some of that's probably skewed because of the lineup, you know, shake up all throughout the year because guys have been out and stuff. So he's had to probably take on a little bit more of a load than he probably otherwise would have. So anyway, thanks to Ryan McDonough for joining us on the show today. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson, Steven Adams. You talk about De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bane. They space the floor and they defend, Key. They defend. They may not, these may not be names that people know now, but I am trying to tell you, like the way they grind and the way they D, they're going to be in the conversation, man.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Max Kellerman. Then Jeff Calkins at 9 a.m. weekday mornings at Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm Chelsea Messenger helping you beat the books with BetQL. A classic Big East battle tonight. Georgetown at number 21 Providence. At first glance, trends say take the Friars. They've won 9 of their last 10 games with 8 wins against the spread. But that's old data. It's not telling you that they haven't played in 12 days because of COVID. So in the last 12 games of this rivalry, the underdog 9-3 against the spread. All of a sudden, the Hoyas are looking better.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.